Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, I'm excited this morning to preach, to share a message that I think it's one of those things that always seems like it will forever be the thorn in my side. It'll be that thing that I'm working on till the day I get to be with the Lord. It's one of those things. Some of you might understand it when I say, when I ask you this, is there anybody in here that's a control freak? There should be a lot more hands up. Don't make your spouse expose you. Just be honest. You guys have heard me talk about it before. I don't need to tell any stories, but I could probably just say airplanes. And you know, I don't like flying. Stems from an issue I have with control. That's why I can't sleep on road trips. I would rather drive for 20 hours straight than let you drive. Just being honest, you know. This comes from, you know, maybe lack of controlling my thoughts and so on, but it also comes from a giant lack of trust in you. Don't take it personal. It's kind of there, you know. I had this conversation with my wife this last week, and it's like, hey, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom, you know, taking care of Farah, and it's not that I don't trust her, but I'm just going to verify, you know. I'm just verifying that, you know, hey, you know, I don't know what my problem is, okay? Like I said, this is the thorn in my side. I was vulnerable. I don't need the judgment, okay? But there's a control aspect that I struggle with in my life. In lots of different avenues, but lately it's shown up in parenting, that's for sure. Nothing like having a kid that learns how to crawl, but isn't quite at that stage where they can balance, you know? And they, you know, you could baby-proof things, but I don't know, I see death everywhere. This is a little side note. You ever get into a discussion, disagreement, let's not say argument, or holy, but with your spouse, and you hit that point where they repeat something that you said in the disagreement, and you have the realization, I'm dumb. But you can't admit it. And you can't backtrack, and for some reason you decide to double down. Lately that's been happening for me. Telling Naomi something and like, really? The house is just going to flip upside down. Literally. And I'm like, well, you never know. Stuff like that. And then you just keep going with it. But some of these things are founded, some of these things maybe not. But I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. We're going to start with control, and we're going to kind of move our way through, and there's going to be kind of a, should be a pretty straight shot, beeline to topics. It shouldn't be too rabbit trail-y, but I'm preaching, so you never know. And obviously we're preaching starting a little bit later, so we'll do our best. But in Genesis chapter 16, that's where we're going to start this morning, because when I think of control, there's a lot of avenues that we get to this place of control. We get to this place of control issues. I have to take control. And control, a lot of times, is a lack of trust, lack of faith, and a lack of submission. Now, I'm talking spiritually, not necessarily with me with parenting, because that's justified. But Yeah, so we're gonna look at this story in the Old Testament. Or chapter 16, we're just going to start right in verse 1. I'm going to read through some of it. I might pause and make a note of something. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go unto my servant, and it may be that I shall obtain children by her." Now, however you want to look at this, and as we continue in Scripture, and when you look at this story, you know, the Lord closing the womb or opening the womb, but it's interesting, a lot of times when we take control of a situation, we blame God. Blame gets shifted. Blame goes to somebody else. And it's, you know, it's not just the situation of recognizing, even if it is, I can't bear children, the Lord does not allow me to bear children, let me submit to that, understand that, and let me give it to God. Because relationship with God brings us not to a place of I get to control things. I went through that when I was younger. I thought, you know, reading Scripture and the winds and the waves obey him, and, you know, that the story in the New Testament, the Scripture verse, I thought, you know, I serve the Lord, he'll give me superpowers. I'm being serious. I would pray at night, Lord, because I was really skinny at a time in my life. I'm going to stand behind this when I say that. You know, I was pretty skinny at a time in my life, and I, you know, you get bullied, whatever. They call you anorexic, blah, 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 whatever. And so it's like, you know, Lord, if I could wake up tomorrow with super strength, I'll never sin again. I believed it, and I was 13 years old. Okay, you can laugh. I mean, that's a little old to be believing. I mean, I trust the Lord and believe that he could do all things, but let's be honest, that sounds like a prayer of a six-year-old, you know? I prayed this prayer, and more than once, too. And either I'm really good at hiding super strength, or the Lord has not answered my prayer yet, and also I've not stopped sinning. So there's that too. But there's this interesting thing that it's, you know, when we get in relationship with God, it's not so that we can have control. It's so we give up control. But it's difficult when things aren't going as planned. For them, can't have kids. So let's take this into my own hands. Let me take control. You know, it's the opposite of Carrie Underwood. Let me take the wheel, right? Okay. Thank you, Dad, for laughing at that. You know, hey, I'm. You know, my humor is maybe not up to par. Farrah's teething really, really bad. So, you know, lack of sleep. So anyway, but as we continue on in chapter 16, and Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. You told me to do it. I did it. And then you got mad at me. I'm not going to say anything, but, you know, Sarai, that sounds a little bit crazy to me. Just making a side note there. I mean, she told him, let's do this. This is the plan. This is the plan. They do the plan works, and then she gets mad at Abram and mad at the mistress. It's taking control, and when it doesn't work the way we want it to work, and when it doesn't, breeds contempt for others, for the situation, for everything. Taking control of things that we were meant to give up control of, it sends us further into peril. sends us further into, I have to take control, I have to take control, I have to take control. And Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. It was your idea. Okay. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. See, taking control. Plan didn't go as well, or kind of went according to plan, but didn't go exactly according to plan. Because let's be honest, you can't control people. Definitely tried, doesn't work. That's the thing, is being a control freak is, or sorry, I probably should use nicer terms so you're more obliged to relate. But being a controlling person, and we take control of things, and we try to do what we want with it, but then I guarantee you, something's going to go awry. Something's not going to go according to your plan. Something is not going to work how you thought and how your control, you want it to be. And something that was never meant to be in their control. Because if, in this case, if it was the Lord closing the womb, then who am I to take that control from God and try to do something outside of that, according to my plan, my control? And it can turn us into what sounds like a bitter person. Let's put it nicely. Spinster comes to mind, but I don't know if that's the right term. No, I'm kidding. But a bitter woman. She's bitter. She's angry. She's content. She's taking it out on everybody. I won't ask if it was you, but have you ever been around somebody who you saw something happen to them and then all of a sudden you see how they treat everybody around them? And you're like, well, I know where that's coming from. And it has nothing to do with me, but you're getting it on me. That's, you know, it's like Farrah, you know, she goes to Naomi, Naomi feeds her, gives her over to me, and then she pukes on me. I'm like, this had nothing to do with me. It's very gross. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. The baby puke still is not my thing. All right. She fled from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from my mistress, Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call him his name Ishmael. Because the Lord has listened to your affliction, he shall be a wild donkey of a man. Sounds like a terrible description. Put that on your resume. His hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. It's interesting here because we see one person taking control of a situation. It doesn't work out the way they want. They start treating everybody poorly. Well, then the Hagar takes control of her situation and flees. But then the angel of the Lord comes in, and she says, go back and submit yourself. There's submission in what she needs to do. And what does she do? She follows that. She submits to the Lord. Now, as a result of this and Ishmael and all this, I'm not getting into that. What I'm talking about is this specific situation is she then gave up control and submitted to what the Lord said. And the Lord heard her affliction. Because this whole situation is awful. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, they're trying to have a kid and they can't. That's heartbreaking. That's terrible. It's a hard time. It's rough. And that stems, you know, control a lot of times too. When things are rough, we try to do even more to get out of the mess we're in. Get me out of here. I'm looking for a great escape to get out of this. That's why, you know, in our culture, it's so easy to be numbed, you know, watching TV before bed because it helps me not think about my life and my day and everything, and then I get to turn off my brain and just, and then go to sleep or try to sleep. You know, that's why they're, you know, drugs and alcohol are prevalent. It's an escape. You know, it's lust and pornography. It's all these things the world pushes on us. I mean, even things that, you know, oh, he said pornography. But even things like football or sports. Even that, it's an escape. Let me escape for my Sunday afternoon. Just let me be. We try to look for this great escape by grasping and doing all these things and taking control of my situation. Or, you know, some of those things, it's us turning our back on the problem. And that's how we control it. Because if I can't control it, well, then forget it. It's not there. But, you know, there's this, you know, there's this wonderful quote that I really, really like. And it's a jiu-jitsu quote. And what it is, in jiu-jitsu, is much like life, when you turn your back on your problem, you're surely to get choked. And if you don't know anything about jiu-jitsu, it's just if somebody takes your back, you're basically done. Because you can't really do anything. And if they're on your back, you're going to get choked out. And I love that quote because it's, yeah, let me turn my back on my problems. Well, that problem is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and smother you. But just because I can't control it, I'm just going to turn my back on it. And that's how I control my situation. It's this need for control that breeds all of these, you know, rough things. I always parallel it to Adam and Eve in the beginning. Once they had the knowledge and they realized they were naked and ashamed, you know, they were ashamed, what did they do? They started grabbing at things to cover themselves. In our life, in our insecurity, and insecurity comes from things that we cannot control or things that we don't want to look at because it's not going the way that I want it to, you know. The way we look, and it's out of my control. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put on 10 pounds of makeup. You know, I'm having trouble losing weight. I'm insecure about it, so I'm going to find a way to control that. Or, oh, well, I just can't control it, so I'm just not going to ever put myself in the situation where I need to. The insecurities, and what do? We try to control things, and we grab things around us, and we try to cover up, and we try to do all this need for control. Because we don't like the way things are. We're going through affliction. We're going through a hard time. Things are not working the way I want. Or even in a justified situation, can't have a kid. That's heartbreaking. That's awful. But I'm going to take control of the situation. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing. I love that. Because it's recognizing. It's almost like the first step of giving up control. Because when I take control, I've been there. I've told, like, God, it's like you don't see what's going on. So I have to take control because you're not doing anything. But she says, you're a God of seeing. I love that. For she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. Therefore, the well was called some name. And it lies between Kadesh and Bered. I'm not even going to go for it. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. 86 years old. So the next time somebody says, when are you having another one? I'm going to say, what about you, Grandma? I'm kidding. I'm messing around. It's just funny, the pressure we receive because you want to live vicariously through us. Okay. No, I'm messing around. it's fun having kids, like I said, but then I'm getting to that stage where I'm like, wow, I was not prepared for this. Like I said, I want to take control. In this story, it's a story of lack of faith, lack of trust, lack of submission. Taking things and going according to my plan in a rough situation. But we know if we jump to James in the New Testament, chapter 1, I think we know this well, some of us. Some of you might not, but now you will. And it's a verse that I think a lot of people like to not read. But I think we forget about this sometimes. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. See, there's two mindsets when we approach a troubled situation. Sarai, let me take control. James, understanding that, oh, this is just part of the process. This is just part of it. I'm going to grow through this. It's not I'm going to take control. It's this is where I am. And it's going to produce steadfastness. It's going to produce faith. Because there's this thing about life, and as we look at the world we live in today, and there's a plague of a problem happening to youth, right? And depression and suicide numbers are on the rise, especially in young kids, and all these different things. And one of the reasons why, if you look at, I mean, there's lots of reasons why. But one of the reasons why, and it's interesting, this this guy who little controversial right now. His name is, he goes by Liver King. yeah, thank you. He's not, anyway, it's about, he's controversial because of his steroid use. But anyway, he was on a podcast and he was talking about something. And trust me, just stay on the point with me because it's going to relate to what I'm talking about. He was talking about something, and he was talking about he created a rite of passage for his sons. Something super difficult and hard that they had to complete for them to become boys to men. And he went into the psychology behind it. And he talked about this day and age, there's no rite of passage anymore. There's no rite of passage. I mean, even high school, which was, you know, hard to graduate at a point in time. Maybe not just because high school is hard, but some of us, yeah, anyway. But it was a rite of passage. Because going through that hardship, going through those difficult things, there was a proof to myself that I can overcome. I can do this. And that confidence that builds up, all of a sudden, when I face hardship later on in life, it doesn't knock me down and keep me down and I turn my back to it because I can't control it and I'm scared and I'm full of fear. No, I've conquered things, so I know that I can conquer this. And it keeps, you know, people from hiding in their basement in a virtual world being depressed. Because they proved through a hard situation. Think of David when he was just a shepherd. A bear and a lion, or so that when he faced Goliath. But see, the point that I'm making is not, hey, believe in yourself. But the reason we take control is because of a lack of faith and belief in God. What I'm telling you is believe in God. Because when we walk through the valley with him, the faith is produced. And there's no longer this need for control. But it's understanding the best thing I could ever do is give up control. That's the best thing I can do. Because through each battle, through each hardship, as the Lord gets me through, I continue to build faith. I continue to build belief and trust. And the relationship is no longer about me blaming God because of this and that and the other, but instead, I am submitting all that I am to Him. Because He's proven to always be faithful. That's why it's, you know, countercultural. I've grown up my entire life learning that failure is something you don't want. Don't fail. School, don't fail, don't fail, don't fail. When in reality, failing isn't really that bad. You learn from that. It's that hardship of feeling like, oh man, I'm bad at something. Don't just turn your back, oh, I'm bad at it, I'm never going to do it. You know, my wife's not here, so I'm going to use this example. Turn my phone upside down to make sure I don't get a text. Board games. She doesn't, if she's bad at it, she ain't playing it. Why on earth would I do that? I'm like, oh, hey, we're going to go on a double date with Justin and Brittany. We're going to go bowling. Well, you guys can bowl. I'm not going to bowl. Well, why not? I'm bad at it. I'm like, it's for fun. It's for fun. Come on, babe. No, I'm not going to bowl. Well, babe, come on. Like, nobody there is a professional bowler. No. The first year after we were married, Christmas at my family's, I mean, it's almost nonstop board games over there. I mean, she left and went to a movie. I love you, babe. I'm so sorry. I had to grow through that situation and learn understanding and compassion and, you know, it's a board game. What are you talking about? I'd rather something. It's this whole thing. I mean, there's countless of us that are afraid of failure. It's why, you know, people will say don't have too high of expectations. But that's not, I believe that that's not biblical. High expectations is what we're called to. I mean, have you read this? The expectations in here are impossible without God's help. And it's not about failing at those expectations. Because failing at those expectations is just an opportunity to exercise grace for yourself and for others. That's why people are afraid of failure, is because we don't use grace properly. And we don't trust the Lord. And this belief in Him that we say we have just so we can make it to heaven, well, when it comes time for the testing, when it comes time for the refining, when it comes time where you can't bear children, when it comes time you gotta play a board game at your in-laws, where's the belief? Where's the faith? The submission to God and understanding, okay. Look at Daniel. He was able to submit in his role when he was walking around doing his stuff. And it made it so he could submit when he was in the lion's den. It made it so that he could believe and he could trust and he could have faith. It's this confidence that we have in God. Like I was saying, that rite of passage, and it breeds confidence, self-confidence, and there might be some truth to that, and blah, blah, blah. But what I'm talking about this morning is spiritual. The confidence that we have in God. Because there's countless people, us, me, at times in our life where we take control. We take control of a situation when this relationship with God is meant to be a release of all of that. I have no control. It's recognizing that I have no control. It's recognizing that no matter what I do today, tomorrow is not promised. No matter how I live my life, to whatever healthy, awesome, diet, lifting, amazing system, that someday I'm going to be old. And my body's going to start to shut down. And I'm going to wither away. It's understanding that I don't have control. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, well, that means we're going to get McDonald's today and every day, and that's all we're going to... No, that's not what I'm saying. Don't take advantage of grace. Don't sin so grace may abound. That's not what I'm saying. You know, we're meant to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, we want to use that, you know, when somebody, you know, might have a tattoo or something. But then we forget that food and the health and the way we treat our body is just as important. But anyway, there's John chapter 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. To believe that, to trust that, it's exactly that. It's to trust, it's to have faith in what he said. It's to understand that he promises you not a happy, awesome, go lucky, yay, everything works out life. What he promises is, yeah, there's tribulation. But take heart, I overcame it. And the promise of eternity with him. But we get caught up in, and we search for, and our perspective is, my life is really rough right now. Something must be wrong. I mean, you're right. Something is wrong. You live in a world that's flawed and full of sin. Why do we expect this place to be like heaven? And when it's not like heaven, we take control. And we take it out of God's hands and we hinder our faith. We hinder our trust. We ruin the opportunity for us to become more faithful. And then we start taking it out on people around us and controlling and manipulating. And all of a sudden, when we can't get the last word in, then you're dead to me. I'll never talk to you again. And bitterness is stored. And all of a sudden, we're 7 years down the road and we're miserable. We got nobody around us, no people, no family, no friends, except for maybe that one person that loves the Lord so much they keep showing up even though you kick them in the face every time they come around, verbally, maybe not physically. It's not the life we're called to live. We're called to give up that control. Romans 12, verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. I'll throw in verse 13 just for fun. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Because those ones are important. Because that's how we treat people. That's how we treat people, is hospitality and, pardon me, taking care of the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. I mean, that's how we treat people around us. But as we look at this, it's a patient in tribulation. I was having a conversation with somebody, and they were talking about how, you know, they were talking about the season they're in, and it's really rough right now. They said, well, I'm one day closer to the end of that season. I said, are you? Because when I look at the Israelites, what was supposed to be a 2-week trip took 40 years. And there wasn't the thought of, I'm one day closer to the end of this season, like, oh, well, the Lord's just going to get me through it, so I'm going to sit here and keep grumbling and complaining. No, the season they were in was because of the heart journey. You could do 2 weeks worth of work in one day when it comes to the heart. You're going to be exhausted. That refining process, that faith and steadfast endurance building, but you're going to be moving along. Then you're one day closer to the end of the season. Because sometimes there's circumstantial seasons, stressful things. The church, we've been going through renovations and moving office furniture out and around and all this and not knowing, well, because contractors, it's tough right now and all this different stuff. You don't know exactly when they're painting this room or carpeting this one or this, you know, and then it's like, well, I just ran home. Well, now I got to drive right back and we got to move all this stuff again. You know, it's just a stressful thing. It's stressful and you just want to rush. Well, when the renovations are done though, oh, then it's, oh, sweet. Well, until that same circumstance comes along again. And you're right back in the wilderness. The season's not over. The spiritual season's still there. It's just dormant. Because we can control the circumstances and this and that. And, oh, if it's out of my, well, it'll just be over. We spend so much time controlling. When, if we are to look at Scripture, the only thing that we are empowered to control and to control is ourselves. But we lack that. Because it's always circumstance, it's always someone else, it's always God. It's His fault. Or it's someone's fault. Or it's, you know, winter's fault. The other day we had that giant snowfall and I should have paid more attention to the weather. I was not prepared. I know it's winter, okay? I'm just saying I was not mentally prepared. And I come driving into work that morning and it was like, wow, the plows definitely haven't been out. Well, then I'm, you know, slipping and sliding. Nothing bad happened, but, you know, I'm slipping and sliding. I'm like, good golly, where are these plow trucks? It's like, well, Brock, it's not their fault you're driving like it's still summer in 70. You see what I'm saying? It's always somebody else's fault. Well, Brock, just control your speed limit. I mean, I wasn't like flying through town at 60, okay? I'm just saying, control the way you drive. Brake early, brake often, pump your brakes. Sorry, I'm quoting my dad. Every time we go driving, hey, pump, brake early, pump your brakes, don't lock them up, you know. Check your oil. Give them a good day. Hey, choose what man you're going to become. What's your last name? Have a good one. No, he wouldn't say all that when I'd leave. It just depended on where I was going, he'd say some of that, which is good. I've preached using that example before, but when we look at this, it's patient in tribulation. We try to rush through. We try to rush through the season without ever paying attention to the reason, paying attention to the actual journey, the actual, you know, count it all joy because we're going to produce steadfastness and so on, and we don't pay attention to that. We're just trying to rush through the season and we're not being patient and paying attention. And part of the trick to being in a season of hardship and tribulation and understanding and keeping your focus on God and what He has for you, you know how you do that? You know how you focus in and you pay attention and you give up control is what it says, fervent prayer, communication with God, relationship with Him. That's how we're reminded to give up control. It's how we're reminded to give up control. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. It's an awesome thing. I'm going to be kind of wrapping up with this last little bit, so, you know, 20 more minutes? No, I'm kidding. It's interesting when we look at our trust in God. And it really, that's just one specific thing. It's just our relationship with God in general and all the different facets and how it shows up around us. You know, it's the fruits. You can judge a field by its fruit. You know, probably judge the farmer by his field to an extent, right? There was a message recently where you're talking about a little bit of that kind of stuff, but when we look at the church and understanding, do you trust your pastor? Do you trust your pastor? You don't have to actually answer that. I appreciate gold sticker for those that said, without hesitation, yes. Do you trust your pastor? Because, and this is, nobody take this personal as a complaint, but what I've seen in ministry, and not just here at this church, but I've seen another church and talking to other pastors is, you know, pastors are really only there for the highs and the lows of your life. When something went really wrong, then you came. If there's something to celebrate, then you came. But in the everyday life, in the middle of life, there wasn't much discussion. I remember as a youth pastor, there, you know, 9 years or so-ish as a youth pastor, 7 times I had parents come meet with me in person. Only 7 times. And a majority of those were when their kid was at rock bottom. It's like, man, I probably could have helped. I mean, I could try now, but I really could have helped probably, you know, you know, 5 steps ago. But it's interesting that, you know, we're here to serve. We're here for you. And I've been in meetings and multiple, and I've been in personal meetings, I've been in meetings with other people and all this stuff where they're meeting with somebody and somebody's telling me or Isaac or boss man about Randy, I don't know, that sounds weird. meeting with boss man, and they're talking about a situation, a hard time, something happened, and it's like, I'm here to help you. This is not an I told you so, but I could have told you that. I could have spared you some of this. And because I've seen that come up so much with us, that I know that might be how God feels. I come to him when the storm hits. I come to him after I made my mess. I come to him after I took control of the situation and absolutely broke everything, and all of a sudden I'm flying, you know, I'm freaking out, running around. Oh, Lord, help me, spare me from the thing I did, even though I deserve. I've been there. Spare me from my sin. And I don't just mean eternal damnation. I mean the worldly repercussions of my sin. Please, don't let my dad notice. No, when I was a kid, he noticed every time. But it's not just with the Lord. I mean, it's with the pastors in your life. The church is not just, you know, putting on fun events. You know, young families, young couples, men's putting on fun events and Bible studies and Sunday morning preaching. It's, I got a big decision in my life. I got to go talk to pastor. And understand this. This has nothing to do with pastor trying to control your life. That's why I said, do you trust? What was your first instinct when I said you have a big decision to make in life? Come talk to pastor. What was your first instinct? What? Skeptical? Cynical? Well, then you must not trust your pastor. And I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying, I think that shows a little bit about your relationship with God. And I'm more concerned about your relationship with God than your relationship with me, although I care about this. I care about my relationship with each of you. But I'm here to make sure you draw closer to the Lord. That's why you show up on a Sunday. And you trust that the pastor is not just going to preach his opinion. He's not just going to preach what, well, this last week somebody ticked me off, so I'm going to preach a message on it. No. I'll be honest, most of my messages come from me ticking myself off. That's how I learn. You got to put me through the blender first. It is. It's trusting the Lord and understanding that you don't need to take control. And if your life is kind of going awry, maybe it's because you've taken control. You need to give that up. But I wanted to share some of the reasons why we, me included, why we got to take control sometimes is because of our lack of faith, belief, trust, and submission to God, which are all things that we are called to do, which are all things that stem from going through the valley. Not the great escape, but going through the valley. Not taking the shortcut, but going through the valley and seeing exactly how my God delivers, exactly how my God fights, how he defends, how he provides. I've seen him do it time and time again in my life. So it's hard not to get aggravated with myself when I preach this message. Because I got to look at my life where I haven't been trusting him. I'm like, well, he's always provided. Why am I back to grade one? It's the refining process. And like I said, it's one of those things that I feel like will always be a thorn in my side. Because like Safety Steve, I'm Safety Brock. And I have a belief that the reason my kid is fine and safe is because I worried. There might be some truth to that. It's being smart and taking care. But I think there's some wisdom in my wife telling me, Brock, she's not ours. She's the Lord's. And that's enough to make a grown man cry.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.